You're listening to a report from Health News Florida. I'm Stephanie Colombini. Minority communities have a history of experiencing racism in the healthcare system. Most notorious may be the Tuskegee syphilis study in the mid-1900s, when federal health workers knowingly mistreated black men with syphilis in order to study the disease. I recently spoke with Dr. Joseph Ravenel, associate professor with New York University's Department of Population Health. He said that instances like that have caused some minority patients, especially African Americans, to distrust medical care.
Unfortunately, much of the medical mistrust that we have heard about stems in part from these historical instances, but also from instances much closer to home, either from family, friends, or even personal experiences of mistreatment. And it only takes one to confirm for someone that they should not seek medical care. And when that happens, it's often very difficult to regain someone's trust.
How can that negatively impact those communities?
Starting with research, we know that across many scientific fields, there is lower participation among minority patients, where often, we don't know how some of the cutting-edge treatments that are being developed impact minority patients. For certain screening tests, like for colorectal cancer, often patients don't want to come in for those studies, and we know one of the major drivers of the higher incidence and higher mortality for colorectal cancer in African Americans compared to other populations is the fact that we often don't get screened in a timely way. And I do think that medical mistrust is certainly a contributing factor.
So tell me about the research that you did related to this issue and how barbershops can play a role.
So over the course of my career, we have looked into how we can use non-clinical and non-traditional settings to try to overcome barriers like medical mistrust to improve outcomes for conditions African Americans suffer more from. Two of those conditions include high blood pressure and colorectal cancer. We've been able to work with trusted community organizations and community venues such as barbershops and churches. So one of the projects that we did in Dallas, Texas, we actually taught barbers how to measure blood pressure as a way to identify black men early with this condition to try to institute treatment at an early stage before some of the terrible consequences of high blood pressure, such as stroke, heart attack, and kidney disease. And in New York City, we actually expanded that model from high blood pressure to colorectal cancer, where we trained a workforce of community health workers who were from the communities that we were targeting in New York City, and put them into barbershops to find people who were not up to date on their screening. And what we found was those men who were connected to a community health worker in the barbershops, they were twice as likely to get screened in a timely way compared to those people who only had a referral from their doctors.
Wow. And so when you did this in Dallas or New York, like afterwards when there was positive results, would a state or a city government pick up some of the cost of training community health workers?
You raise a great point, Stephanie, which is, once the research is done, how do we take this to implementation? And that's an important question that we are thinking about now. But the Centers for Disease Control has really picked up the ball in an important way by basically compiling some of these evidence-based community engaged strategies. It really gives these strategies a level of credibility where they can be supported by state and local governments.